الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, today is the 2nd of Jumad al-Awwal 1433, which corresponds to the 24th of March 2012. And we are beginning a fantastic chapter indeed in regards to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, whom we ask Allah to make us amongst and to allow us to die in that fashion. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, rahimahullah, faslun fi manhaji ahli sunnati wal jama'ati fil amri bil ma'rufi wal nahi anil munkari wa ghayriha min al khisali. A chapter on the methodology of ahli sunnah wal jama'ah in regards to al amr bil ma'ruf. What is al amr bil ma'ruf? Al-amr ma'ruf is commanding the good and forbidding the evil. It's like buy one, get one free. Huh? Two in one. Then what happened to an-nahy anil munkar? So al-amr bil ma'ruf is enjoining the good or commanding the good. Amr, both are acceptable. Wan-nahy anil munkar, to prevent vice. Actually, the hay'a here, that's the way they translate it. Of promoting virtue and preventing vice. It's a nice way to put it. Now we say enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil. But hayat al-amr bil-ma'ruf wa na'an al-munkar is preventing or virtue, I think, and preventing vice. Nice, huh? Wa ghayriha min al-khisal, and others among other qualities that are relevant and Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah are characterized by these qualities. قوله رحمه الله تعالى ثم هم مع هذه الأصول يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. أهل السنة والجماعة, along with these fundamentals which were mentioned earlier, as in previous classes and in the Shaykh's previous statements, such as their methodology regards to Sahaba, the practical application of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and so forth, they enjoin what is good and they forbid what is evil. They enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil. I didn't hear anything. You said alhamdulillah. Yarhamuk Allah, brother. Ma'alish, because everybody said while you were saying it, I guess. Na'am. Hum ay ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. The pronoun was used. Hum. They. As in ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. Ma'a hadhi al-usul al-sabiq alati dhakarraha qabla hadha. The fundamentals which were mentioned before. Wa huwa ittiba'u athari al-rasuli alayhi salatu wassalam. That they follow the footsteps and whatever has been traced all the way back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَاتِّبَاعِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ, and following the rightly guided caliphs or khulafa. وَإِثَارِهِمْ وَإِثَارِهِمْ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَلَى وَكَلَامِ رَسُولِ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ, and the fact that they do ithar. Now let's do a quick quiz. I knew it. Wait. Now, if somebody doesn't know this word, man, I'm telling you, man, I got a cup of water here, and I got a couple of objects that are somewhat heavy. And if one of y'all is knocked out with it, he's going to be in the hospital for a couple of days. Ithar. Wait, first, before you give me an answer, I want to see how many, those who remember, and it wasn't 2 years ago, it was last week. Okay, we dealt with yu'thir, mu'thir, ithar. And we said ithar, and there's a particular English word for it.
I got exception, I was absent.
You were absent, and you're happy now. But you usually are among those who don't remember, Ibrahim. So still, I'm basing it on the asl. The asl is that you won't know. Huh, guys? How many remember? Raise your hand. Uno, dos. You remember, brother? Is it because of you wrote it down? Ah, busted. Nice try. Huh? You remember from memory?
Yeah, I remember.
From memory?
Yeah. Because when I went home, I told 2-3 other friends the same translation.
Okay. Let's try, because he raised his hand first. Then you can tell us whether he's right or wrong.
Actually, it was the first time, so I wrote it down that time, but I was going to look, but I said maybe I should go for it. I think it's altruism.
Can you correct?
Yeah, altruism.
Huh?
Altruism, something like
spell it.
A-L-T-R-U-I-S.
Hey, Aywa, altruism. Aywa. It's okay. So fix it now. Altruism. A-L-T-R-U-I-S-M. And we said the one who does it is an? Altruist. The concept is altruism. The one who does it, al-mu'thir, which we said is favoring others over oneself, is altruist, an altruistic person. That's what they say in English. Fine. So they favor the speech of Allah and the speech of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ala ghayri. They favor the speech of Allah and His Messenger over the speech of anybody else, including Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. وَاتِّبَاعِ إِجْمَاعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And they follow the consensus of Muslims. Whatever the Muslims agreed to, they follow that. This is an asl to them. Huh? مع هذه الأصول. Along with all of these يعني foundational, very strong principles, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They command what is good, forbid what is evil. وَالْمَعْرُوفِ, the Shaykh said, important definition, you guys. كُلُّ مَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الشَّرْعِ فَهُمْ يَأْمُرُونَ بِهِ. Ma'roof is whatever the legislation commanded. Everything which Allah and His Messenger said to do is ma'roof. They therefore also in turn they command it. So they become like the ones who convey the information. They convey the command. So they command accordingly. As one, because you know, one of the most common criticism that the people leave on the YouTube lectures and the Facebook, the most common one, I don't know if you paid attention, is when they hear the speaker, whether it is myself or someone else, telling the people, this is haram, this is wrong, if someone does this, the first thing they say is, who are you to judge? Huh? Allah is the judge. You don't have the right to judge people. Allah is the judge. It is none of your business, blah, blah, blah. This is the most common thing. And they fail to realize that the one judging is judging on behalf of Allah and His Messenger because they judged. And anyone who works in da'wah is a representative of them. A classic, normal, everyday life example is the boss. If the boss assigns someone to represent him while he's absent, okay, or he's a person that is a middleman between the boss and the employees, they can't tell him, well, you're not the boss, we don't have to listen to you. Yeah, but the boss told me to tell you. And so I have that same authority because he assigned me for this. And if you were to reject him, then you would be a lousy employee. So it is not about judging people. It's about, that's what Allah and His Messenger said. Now, when we make declarations like that, we cannot say you're going to Jahannam. Even if it's the biggest facet in the world, we say this act leads to Jahannam. Your particular affairs with Allah. Allah may forgive the sinner and throw the speaker in Jahannam. Nobody can come and interfere with Allah. This is all from the ghaib, from the unseen, which Allah will judge on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But now, we judge by what we see. You show goodness, you're good. You show evil, you're evil. Umar said that clearly. Clearly, because the munafiqeen were coming around. He said, whoever shows goodness to us, we will treat him accordingly. Whoever shows evil, his secret is with Allah. But we have to treat people per their evil. If they display evil and bid'ah and innovation, you can't assume otherwise. Until they do otherwise. Ala kulli hal. وَالْمُنْكَرْ كُلُّ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ الشَّرْعِ فَهُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهِ. Everything which the legislation forbade, they therefore forbid it as well. لأن هذا هو ما أمر الله به في قوله. This is exactly what Allah commanded when He said, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Surah Al Imran, Ayah 104. So let there be a nation amongst you, calling to all that which is good, and commanding, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They command all that which is good and recommended, وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and they forbid what is wrong and forbidden and evil. So Allah was said, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً. Let there be a nation among you that take on this task. It doesn't mean that the hayah which they have here, yes, these are the most official representatives, but it doesn't absolve us of the responsibility. We cannot say, well, there's a hayah, so you just watch. No, you have to be involved in that. provided that you have the means to do it. The means are knowledge. Knowledge. In some cases, you need some higher authority than knowledge, depending on where you are. But on the basic level, if you see something evil down the street, you have the authority to say something about it. You see what I'm saying? You see someone doing something wrong in the masjid, you have the authority, you have to. Yesterday, we went to pray Isha in this one masjid in Hayr Rawda. And alhamdulillah, we got there maybe just before the adhan, or right at the adhan time. So I go there, there's this one brother praying. Tayyib. So made ruku', his underwear showed. Made sujood, his lower back showed. Tayyib. Now, I'm next to him. Am I allowed to be quiet? No. And if you're ever in this predicament, you're not allowed to be quiet. It's haram. It's haram because you have cheated him. You have cheated your brother by leaving him in the dark. He doesn't know. He doesn't have cameras installed on his back to see what is going on. He doesn't know. He probably thinks his back is covered. It becomes here, you have to do amr bil ma'ruf, nahy anil munkar. Now how? This is where we have to train ourselves. I could say, are you crazy, man? What is wrong with you, man? Go change your clothes. And he may go to the he may go and never come back. So I had to give him an introduction. There has to be an introduction. Assalamu alaikum. Kaif halak? How are you? So he looked Middle Eastern. So I gave him a Lebanese dialect. You see, now you have to, sometimes you have to apply crazy stuff. Why? Because they think mutawwi', local mutawwi', they're fanatics. So when they see him, he's Middle Eastern, and he sees another Middle Eastern, it's going to click in his mind, why is this guy speaking my dialect, and then yet telling me something? It's unusual. But this is now one of the means of da'wah to approach him so he will relax. He won't say, just another mutawwi' getting on my case. So one of the means to get closer to him is by having a background in this guy, so I try to speak to him in a language which he is familiar with. He's probably Syrian or Lebanese, I assumed, from the way he's dressed, the way he looks, and whatever, you know? So, I'm speaking to him local dialect. Said, you know, Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah, you're here early, and so on and so forth. This is a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, Allah says in the Quran, Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Oh, son of Adam, take your adornment at every place of prostration. Now, the scholars have different interpretations. Besides putting on your nicest clothes and looking nice and everything, it also includes covering from your navel to your knees. Now, when you made ruku', I told him, I saw your underwear. When you made sujood, I saw your butt. He laughed. I was like, what do you want me to say? That's what is there, man. So now, according to the deen, your salah is invalid. Your salah is invalid. So I know you're in a masjid now. It's going to be difficult for you to go and come back. So when the iqamah is called, raise your pants and pull down your shirt. And get the salah over with. But from now on, when you come to the masjid, make sure that you wear something. I'm not telling you wear a thawb. But wear something that definitely covers your back. Make sure that your awra is covered before you do salah. Because if you were to meet the mudir, you're not going to go in your pajamas. So you can't come to the masjid looking lousy like that. Cool? He said, cool. He was totally fine with it. Khalas. Done the job. I'm not telling you this. I'm telling you this because sometimes you have to say this to see. It's simple. Sometimes the shaitan will tell you, no, big deal. You're going to speak to him. He's going to scream at you. No, habibi. It's simple. Crack a couple of jokes if you have to, and be nice and gentle in the approach. Deliver the message, khalas. Now this could affect him, Allah knows how. We did our job. Any one of us can do this, by the way. This is not some special, any human being with some basic information, even if you don't know the dalil. You can tell him, akhi, you have to cover your body during salah. He told me, I just remembered. He told me, but isn't the niyyah, what is important is the niyyah. Isn't the niyyah the most important thing? I said, huh? I said, wait a second. No, it is not. So he was shocked. I said, the niyyah is important, but it is not the most important thing. There are 9 conditions for salah. You know, one of them is the niyyah, but also facing the qibla, the entrance of time, removing the, you know, dirt from the area, purity of the body, purity of the place, covering the awrah. All these are conditions. You can't take one and throw away all the other ones. Yes, I'm telling you the niyyah is most important, but it's not so important that everything else is unimportant. It is of major importance when other conditions have been met. He's jahil. He doesn't know the basics of salah. He doesn't know. And it looked like he was someone who's, you know, not really practicing, and Allah recently guided him. So with these people, you have to be extra careful that you don't hurt his feelings, because he may already have some bad ideas and bad, you know, assumption about, you know, practicing people. So if you do something extra, he would run away. So you have to, you know, draw him in slowly. The bottom line is, please, if you're ever in this predicament or anything of the sort, don't be shy and don't let the shaitan make you feel like this is some big accomplishment. This is something very basic. Inshallah, each and every one of you is able to do this and more. So make sure you don't deprive yourself and your brothers in Islam from the right to receive nasiha. How did I get here? As usual. وَكَذَلِقَ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ السَّلَامِ لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوَنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلَتَأْخُذُنَّ عَلَى يَدِ الظَّالِمِ وَلَتَأْطُرَنَّهُ عَلَى الْحَقِّ أَطْرًا. Now listen to this hadith. Verily, يعني, you shall by all means enjoin what is good, and you shall by all means forbid what is evil, and you shall by all means grab onto the hand of the oppressor, prevent the oppressor, the ظالم. Don't give him the ability to continue his ظلم. And you shall, you know, push him towards the truth in this fashion. Yani you bring him from zulm and you keep dragging him until he returns to the path of righteousness and fear of Allah. You have to. Actually, the continuation of the hadith, if this is the same hadith, or Allah Azza wa Jal will send a punishment upon you, and you will make dua and he will not reply to you. He will not reply to you. And other hadith actually mentions that. لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفَ وَلَتَنْهَوْنَ عَلْمُنْكَرَ أَوْ لَيُشِكَنَّ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُصَلِّتَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّنْهُ ثُمَّ تَدْعُونَهُ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ. In another hadith it says, you shall enjoin what is good, or forbid what is evil, or otherwise Allah will send upon you a punishment from him that he will make dua and he will not respond. How long have we been making dua for Syria, and how many masajid? Back in the times of the Salaf, one of them, لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, one of them would swear by Allah, and if Allah instantly, Allah will give him. One of them said, oh Allah, if one of the Sahaba, if this person lied, then do this to them. Instantly the person died. It happened to more than one of the Salaf. And the Prophet ﷺ spoke about them. Some people, if they were to ask Allah once, خلاص, because of their relationship. Now we have all the Imams and everybody making dua, and Allah musta'an. It's the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the hikmah of Allah that this happens because of some goodness which is going to happen to the ummah. Nevertheless, we should feel guilty as well. Which reminds me, when you're standing in the dua, ikhwan, if the imam makes a dua, you say ameen in a low voice. There isn't any relationship between raising the voice and the acceptance of the dua. You maintain the low ameen. When he's praising Allah, we say nothing. Nothing. There's no subhanak, anything of the sort. There's no evidence for it whatsoever. So when he says, Alhamdulillah ala al-Islam, Alhamdulillah al-Quran, you just say nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Your mouth is shut. When he says, Allahumma ansur muslimin, ameen. Allahumma arhamhum, ameen. Like this. It's not an orchestra with a big, you know, director in the front going like this. The more he screams, you scream with him, and people get excited, and then they go out, eat pizza, khalas. Khalas, all this act which was happening is done, it died out in the masjid. This is what has become. Dua became some weird innovations people bring. They raise their voice against Allah Azza wa Jal and they scream at him to respond to what they want. It doesn't happen this way, man. You have to have adab with Allah Azza wa Jal. Beg him like a beggar. A beggar doesn't scream in your face, look, give me the money, Lord. Look, give me the money now. Say, man, get out of my face, man. You're going to beg me for money and you want to push me. We say in, you know, the Middle East, they say, Shahadum Sharit. He's a beggar and he places conditions. I want from you a hamburger, no tomatoes. Yeah, boy, enta, you want a hamburger, no tomatoes. Alhamdulillah, you got a hamburger. Yalla, imshi minina. Yani, what is this? We want to put the place conditions on Allah Azza wa Jal. Do it, this and do that. No, no, no. And screaming, ma'iji. Not in dua. Dua. Even if you're screaming, you're screaming the khutbah, when it comes to dua, be quiet. Just make a basic dua, alhamdulillah. Hope that Allah Azza wa Jal accepts. طيب. فهم يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ولا يتأخرون عن ذلك. So Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, and they don't have any delays. when it comes to that. There's no, we'll do it later. Do it right then and there. ولكن the Sheikh now will give us some excellent conditions. ولكن يشترط للأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر أن يكونا على ما توجبه الشريعة وتقتضيه. However, there's a condition when it comes to enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil, is that that should be done in a manner which agrees with what the Sharia necessitates and allows. Not something that you bring from your own. ولذلك الشروط, and that has a number of conditions. الشرط الأول, the first condition, أن يكون عالما بحكم الشرع فيما يأمر به أو ينهى عنه. The one doing it should be knowledgeable, should have knowledge of the ruling, the legislative ruling, in regards to that particular thing which he's enjoining or forbidding. يعني when you want to enjoin it, you should know why. When you want to forbid it, you should know why. You should have a dalil for it. A dalil for it. Okay, if you don't, if one of us doesn't, has to back off. Allahu A'lam. I'm not really sure. It is not merely I think. Because many people use this I think methodology. No, it's either I know methodology or khalas. It's not meant for you. It's not meant for you because we did not acquire the knowledge in this particular area. That's what we have to learn. فَلَا يَأْمُرُ إِلَّا Your excuse, sir. بِمَا عَلِمَ أَنَّ الشَّرْعَ أَمَرَ بِهِ You don't command except that which you know that the legislation has commanded. وَلَا يَنْهَى إِلَّا عَمَّا عَلِمَ أَنَّ الشَّرْعَ يَنْهَى عَنْ And you neither forbid anything unless you know that the legislation forbade that thing. وَلَا يَعْتَمِدْ فِي ذَلِكَ عَلَى ذَوْقٍ وَلَا عَادًا Huh? And he doesn't rely when it comes to these matters on his taste. As in, you know, this is what I think is more, per my opinion, such and such. وَلَا عَادًا Nor a cultural tradition. People back home do it this way, so you have to do the same thing. لقوله تعالى لرسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. Now, applying what the Shaykh said. He's going to give you an evidence for that. What is the evidence that you don't enjoin except that which you know and you don't forbid except that which you have knowledge of? فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then judge between them according to that which Allah sent down. وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ عَمَّا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ And do not follow their desires in regards to that which has come to you of the truth. Don't leave that alone and follow their desires. وَقَوْلِهِ Allah said, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا And don't go chasing after that which you have no knowledge of. Verily, the hearing, the seeing, and the heart, all of these you'll be questioned about. Allah hadik and I. All of these you'll be questioned about. Surah Al-Isra, ayah 36. وَقَوْلِهِ وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمْ الْكَذِبِ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ And do not say with that which your tongues describe lies as lies. This is halal and this is haram. So that you wind up attributing to Allah lies. Iftira is to slander, to produce something. It's an allegation. Verily those who do so, who claim and attribute lies to Allah Azza wa Jal, or lie against the deen of Allah, لا يفلحون, they will not be successful. And this is very, very common. People don't have the right perception of halal and haram. They only have it according to their country and their culture and their race. According to them, this halal haram, so they want to impose it now on everybody else. And Allah said, don't do so. Because this is iftira of kathib against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَوْ رَأَ شَخْصًا يَفْعَلُ شَيْئًا الْأَصْلُ فِيهِ الْحِلِّ If you see someone doing something in which, in regards to which, the fundamental principle that it is lawful. Huh? فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ أَنْ يَنَا حَتَّى يَعْلَمَ أَنَّهُ حَرَمَ وَمَنِيٌ عَنْ You have no right to forbid him until you have an evidence. You know for sure that this is haram or prohibited. If someone is doing something general, you cannot come say, for example, someone eating a watermelon. Come say, it's haram to eat a watermelon. Abu Ilesh, wallah, I just feel it's haram. This thing is too big, you know?
Oh, it's too real.
Yeah. and it looks like you just killed someone. Look at all this blood inside. Say, listen, man, get out of my face, man. What do you mean it's haram? Some people really get excited. Or they bring you a fabricated hadith, about batikh. And there are some fabricated hadith about batikh, by the way. Ala kulli hal, say, no, not until... Doesn't that appear in the recording? The voice? Anyways.
It's a little bit tipsy, that's why.
Well, all this is recorded. And you guys are closest to the mic. Don't worry, guys. It's okay, it happens. I don't know how we got there, man. Bismillah. طيب. So now, you don't come and say, we cannot do this until you have an evidence. So if you say the haram, say, brother, what is the evidence that is haram? Then you have to say, Allah said in the Quran, or the Prophet said such and such. Without that, you cannot come and say, so someone doing something lawful in the asl, make it haram. وَلَوْ رَأَى شَخْصًا تَرَكَ شَيْئًا تَرَكَ شَيْئًا يَظُنُّهُ الرَّائِي عِبَادَةً فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ أَنْ يَمُرَهُ بِالتَّعَبُّدْ بِهِ حَتَّى يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الشَّرْعَ أَمَرَ بِهِ. If you see someone abandoning something, which you, the observer, believe to be an act of worship, you have no right to command him to do it until you know that this is something that legislation commanded. An example of that, I'm not trying to propagate that, but just so we will know. Tahiyyatul Masjid. Tahiyyatul Masjid, there is the actual command. But the Jumhur al-Ulama understand that as not obligatory. Jumhur al-Ulama are of the opinion that Tahiyyatul Masjid is not wajib. Is not. Did you know that? You didn't know that. Because it's prevalent here that it is wajib. Okay? Now, of course, we have the explicit hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. If one of you enters the masjid, let him not sit down until he prays two rak'at. And on Jumu'ah, when he was given khutbah ﷺ, he stopped. Yet, the ulama have one hadith, actually, which we have to take into consideration whenever it comes to other ibadat, besides what we know as faridah from the Arkan al-Islam al-Khamsa. Which is a man, and a hadith al-Sahih, came to the Messenger of Allah, said, oh, Messenger of Allah, what is it that Allah made obligatory upon me? He told him, about salah and siyam and zakah, he told him, wallahi, I will not add anything. I will not add anything. When he left, he said, if he is truthful, he has succeeded. Now, could it be that he would succeed if there was something obligatory which he will leave? No. No. If you leave the obligation, no success. The fact that the Prophet, ﷺ, he accepted, he acknowledged, He acknowledged this man's statement that he will only pray the khams salawat. He will not add anything else. He accepted that. This understood. The scholars understood from that this is all that you need of the daily prayers. Now, that doesn't mean that Eid is not obligatory or other salawat are not obligatory because these are not part of the five daily prayers. We're speaking about per day. Which means anything other than the five is, the best it can be is mustahab. Be it witr, or qiyamul layl, or the nawafil, or the rawatib, or the duha, all of it now falls under mustahab. This is according to jumhur al-ulama, the majority of the ulama, of the ummah.
What about sunnah?
What sunnah?
Sunnah prayers.
It's called sunnah. It's never wajib, brother. The sunnah can never be wajib. That's why here, in this context, it's called a sunnah. Otherwise, the farida and the sunnah you learn from the sunnah. So what is intended by sunnah here is the voluntary. It's definitely voluntary. There's no difference of opinion among that. There isn't a scholar, as far as I know, whoever said that the sunnah is obligatory. It cannot be. That's why it's called sunnah. Otherwise, we can no longer say khams salawat. Wala hatta salat al-witr. Yani the Prophet ﷺ, when he sent Mu'adh to Yemen, and he told him, he go into the people of the book, again he repeated. He told them, tell them about Tawheed. If they accept, tell them that Allah افترض عليهم خمس صلوات. Tell them Allah made obligatory upon them five prayers during the day and the night. He didn't tell Mu'adh about witr or tahiyyat al-masjid or nothing. You understand that? So of course some people don't know the general picture. They get excited when they see the hadith, which is fantastic. And I'm not discouraging anyone from tahiyyat al-masjid. Not doing so. Barakallah fiqh. Pray it every time. Every time you can, pray it. But if someone didn't, understand that he is not sinful. And because most people don't know, so they give him a lecture. It happens to me. Sometimes I'll be exhausted. I will be going through a really tough day, and I just want to come and rest. And as soon as I rest, definitely the one next to me says, you know, brother, blah, 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 says, Jazakallah khair, brother, but it is not a wajib. Of course, now the phone helps. I pull out the fatwa and I said, I'm here, brother. Read the fatwa. Jumhur ulama is of the opinion that it is not a wajib. And I'm not telling you I don't want to pray it. I pray it 9 out of 10 times. Once, ya akhi, I have an excuse. And if it was sinful, I understand. But it is not sinful.
Jummah,
that was for Jummah.
Yes. So here, what is the ruling? I mean, you think the imam still can...
The imam can still do it because now he's following the way of the Prophet ﷺ. But yet we have another hadith that when a man came late and he was walking over people's shoulders, he told him, sit down. He told him, sit down. He didn't tell him to pray. So we have an instance where he told him to get up and pray and an instance where he told him, sit down for the one who came late. Which still takes us back to the realm of not obligatory. But the khatib has the authority to tell the person, get up and pray per the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, because this is for Jumu'ah. And Jumu'ah has its own independent thing because it's not 5 daily prayers. That's why we said Eid is different, Kusuf, Khusuf, Istisqa, all these may take on a different ruling. Now we're talking about in a night, day and a night, five. Khalas, nothing more than that can become obligatory. But pray the Tahiyatul Masjid. Don't become lazy and say, put Abu Mus'ab told me it's okay. That's what the people will do. And then, a few days later, Dr. Yahya will call me. I will say, did you tell the people, man, ABC? I said, well, I didn't do anything. Well, the people said, you did. So it always seems like there's a conflict in conveying information. Sometimes things are attributed to me, which I never said. Allah knows I never said. So it's strange, but anyways. Maybe someone did it by mistake. Ala kulli hal, that's besides the point now. The issue is, continue to pray it. Okay? But understand, if you see someone not doing it, seek an excuse for him. Maybe he's knowledgeable that it's not an obligation. Maybe he's sick. Maybe he's tired. Maybe Allahu alam what. Some people, by the way, the people are different kinds, just so that you know. Some people, it doesn't matter what kind of prayer, as long as they pray. يعني مشي حالك. Oh, well, I don't want to... One minute, he's done. Some people say, akhi, either I pray properly or I don't want to pray. Mafi, this 50-50 salah. It's because it's... To some people say, it's disrespectful. Either, just to give you another example. Either I go speak to the manager while my mind is set, is right, and I know exactly what I'm going to tell him, or I stay in my office. I don't go over there, well, you know, today, you know. يعني, you know. It's like, look, man, we have meetings. What do you want? You know, just, you know. You know. So, you know. So either do the thing or back off. That's the manhaj of some. It's a good manhaj. Some say it doesn't matter. As long as I get the 2 rak'at in, at least I pray 2 rak'at. So also take that into consideration. Some people don't like this mashi halak salah. And so they prefer not to pray at all unless they can pray properly. So all this keep in mind so we will not oppress the people. Sometimes we have evil assumptions about Muslims even though they're free of them. Take it easy, guys. It's not a Q&A session. الشرط الثاني أن يعلم بحال المأمور هل هو ممن يوجه إليه الأمر أو النهي أم لا. The first condition, then, knowing if it's halal or haram. Before you say do it, you have to have an evidence. Before you say don't do it, you have to have an evidence. The second condition is, the one whom you're addressing, is he actually legally liable in Islam so that you may address him? Yani, can you grab a 3-year-old child and say, hey, you know, why aren't you praying? No. He's like, what? There's my car, you know. Get out of here, man. He's not going to be digging what you're saying. And so, is that in Islam? Is he liable at the age of 3?
No.
What age?
10.
7 you command. Yeah. Come and pray. 10?
Beating.
Punching? Man. You have children, man?
No.
Okay, you're excited already, huh? Now wait till you get them, inshallah. You don't want to beat them, really. Even though they push you sometimes. But... yeah, but you don't want to be, you know, beating them. It's just the idea of, you may beat them, but not beat them. Slightly beat them, let them know that salah is serious. Not that you harm him, injure him, so he can no longer... You punch him so hard, he can't even go to the salah. Come to salah, man, I can't. He broke my leg. And so, you know, take it easy on the young man. or young lady. هل هو ممن نعم؟ فلو رأى شخصا يشك هل هو مكلف أم لا؟ لا يأمره بما لا يأمر به مثل حتى يستفصل. If you see someone and you doubt for whether he is مكلف, meaning he is عليكم السلام, whether he is legally responsible or not, you don't do it until you're able to get details. And this happens. Sometimes you see a boy in the masjid. How old are you, Habibi? 7? طيب, you have to come and pray. See him playing soccer outside? Ask him, how old are you? Once you know he's 7 and above, say, you have to come to the masjid. You can't be watching. You can't be playing soccer. Or if someone, I was about to say that, Zakallah khair. Or if someone is mentally, has mental issues, mental, you know, inconsistencies or whatever, then also some, he's not mukallaf. You see that he's not normal. He's not marfu' anhu al-qalam. The pen has been raised. I mean, he's not liable Islamically. But then these people shouldn't be allowed to the masjid, by the way. And there really people are lax now, that some people are sick, they come to the masjid, they behave in a manner which disturbs other musallim. The asr is that they should be prevented from the masjid. But you know what's the amazing thing I found? I've been to more than one masjid now, in the wherever I lived. I've lived in different districts. And the your local masjid, the one you go to often. In more than one masjid, I've come across mentally disabled people. And the one amazing thing is they are the most keen people on the first row. يعني subhanAllah, everything else is shut down. But when it comes to the first row, this is aqidah. Aqidah. In our local masjid now, the guy, today I walked in with my son. We walked in from the door. He walked in from the door. He looked at me like this. He started running. I said, hey, slow down, man. He's trying to race to the spot. He's trying to get that spot in the front. And he puts the Quran there, you know, and he's really keen on it. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, subhanAllah, this guy is not even there, man. Yeah, and all of this, he's not even expected to pray. He's totally out, gone. And the brothers, mashallah, full health and full wealth and full intellect. And he's praying in the 20th row. Allahu a'lam about his condition. So, and this guy's been better guided than the one in the back. It's sad, but it's true. So pay attention to that. I don't know why they love the first row. But subhanAllah, it's the fitrah. The fitrah, even though he's sick mentally, the fitrah leads him. He wants to be behind the imam in the first row and he fights for it. So if we don't have this fitrah, meaning something's wrong with our fitrah. Na'am. Al-faslu al-thalith, أن يكون عالما should be الشرط الثالث. The third بدل الفصل. This is a typo. The third condition, أن يكون عالما بحال المأمور حال تكليفه. هل قام بالفعل أم لا? To be knowledgeable of the condition of the one who's been commanded, who has been enjoined, the good has been enjoined upon him or forbidden, did he actually carry out this action or not? يعني, the Shaykh will give an example. فلو رأى شخصا داخل المسجد ثم جلس وشك هل صلى ركعتين فلا ينكر عليه ولا يأمره بهما حتى يستفصل. If he sees a man who had entered the masjid and sat down, and he doubts whether he prayed the two rak'at or not, because the sheikh is of the opinion it's obligatory, by the way, then he doesn't command him, nor does he doesn't command him or forbid until he doesn't command him of the two rak'at until he questions. Brother, did you pray? Huh? If he tells him, because he prayed. Some people, by the way, come early, they pray behind a pillar. Behind, then they move to the first row. So when the guy sees him next to him, he sees him sit down and say, you didn't pray. Okay, I just prayed in the back. Or maybe he was in the masjid from way before Adhan, went for a wudu, to renew his wudu and came back. And so you have to question before you get excited and say you haven't done ABC. Huh? If you're doubtful, verify. وَدَلِيلُ ذَلِكَ The evidence for that. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخطب يوم الجمعة. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was delivering the khutbah on يوم الجمعة. فدخل رجل فجلس. A man entered and he sat down. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصليت؟ Huh. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام asked him, have you prayed? قال لا. He said no. قال قم فصلي ركعتين وتجوز فيهما. Get up and pray two rak'at and وعليكم السلام. Shorten them. Jazakallah khair. Shorten them. تجوز فيهما, meaning do not elongate your recitation after the Fatiha. It doesn't mean that you don't recite the Fatiha properly or that you don't make proper ruku' or proper sujood. It just means that you don't elongate the salah as you would if you had nothing else pending. But you have the khutbah pending. So you have to kind of be hasty in a sense that you don't recite something long, you don't say the adhkar 10 times, you stick to the minimum requirement. But you still have to pray. ولقد نقل لي أن بعض الناس يقول يحرم أن يسجل القرآن بأشرطة لأن ذلك إهانة للقرآن على زعمه. The Sheikh said, and it has been narrated to me by some people, that some people said it's haram to record the Quran on cassette tapes because it is a form of belittling the Quran, according to them. Putting the Quran on a tape is like the Quran on a tape. So that to them, this was like belittlement of the Quran. فَيَنْهَى النَّاسَ أَنْ يُسَجِّلُ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْأَشْرِطَةِ. So he forbids the people. لا يا أخي. لا, don't put the Quran on a sharit. Huh? DVD now is even worse maybe. So this DVD is that thin. At least the tape had a roll and plastic. Now you bring a little tiny circle and you want to put the Book of Allah in the CD. Ya Shaykh, fear Allah. Say, bro, what did I do, man? And some people get excited, you know, like you're committing a big shirk. لِظَنِّهِ أَنَّهُ مُنْكَرْ. Shaykh said, and this poor fella, he thinks that this is munkar. You're doing something evil. فَنَقُولُ لَهُ. We say to him, إِنَّ الْمُنْكَرَ أَن تَنْهَاهُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ لَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مُنْكَرْ. The real munkar is that you are stopping them from something which you didn't know it's munkar. That is the munkar in your action, not in what they're doing. فَلَا بُدَّ أَن تَعْلَمَ أَنَّ هَذَا مُنْكَرْ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. You must have knowledge. You must have evidence that this is evil in the deen of Allah before you tell the people this is evil and forbid them from doing it. وَهَذَا فِي غَيْرِ الْعِبَادَاتِ. This is in regards to matters that are not related to ibadat, acts of worship. أَمَّا الْعِبَادَاتِ فَإِنَّنَا. And by the way, it's worship, not worship. Because you have a warship. And so you say, we worship the kuffar. Is that possible? Because someone say, you know, we use meaning worships against the kuffar. Or we worship the creator. Again, all these are problems. So there's a particular pronunciation here that we differentiate. And you don't have to do it all the time. But when it comes to words which have other words that sound similar, it's important to avoid. Like live and leave. Some people pronounce I live there or I'm leaving. They say I'm living. This one may confuse the listener. Are you leaving or are you living in the place? So you have to make sure you pronounce them correctly so the listener will know what living and leaving are not the same. And sometimes you can use them in a sentence interchangeably. I mean, it won't make a difference for the listener. Both will make sense unless you choose the right one. So be careful of some words like worship, things of the sort which may create a misunderstanding according to the listeners. فَإِنَّنَا لَوْ رَأَيْنَا رَجُلًا يَتَعَبَّدْ بِعِبَادَةً لَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّهَا مِمَّا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّنَا نَنْهَاهُ لِأَنَّ الْأَصْلِ فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ الْمَنَعِ. However, if we see a man, when it comes to ibadat, if we see a man worshipping Allah in a particular manner, and it, لَمْ يُعْلَمْ, it is not known to us that this is something which is commanded, then we are allowed to forbid. Because the fundamental principle in regards to ibadat is prohibition. Yeah, and you see someone doing something very unusual that the people don't do. So you can go assume that this guy may be doing something that is new. You can say, brother, what is the evidence for that? Huh? See, that's an exception to the rule. What is the evidence for what you're doing? Now, not something that is common among the people. Something, and many people have their own, yani, very much homemade, customized acts of worship. Things that they just do from home. Totally, you know, total innovation from scratch. No one preceded him in it whatsoever. This one say, brother, hold on a second, man. What is this that you're doing? I told you about that one guy in the masjid who after the salah, he will unbutton one, two, three. Say, brother, is this your wedding night? You know, when you're in the masjid, man, in the house of Allah. And then, you know, he go. A full, yani, you know when you go to clean your car with they use this vacuum and the air blower? Complete air blowing of the whole body.
After salah?
After every salah and fajr. He said, ya Shaykh, abu, ya shit so wind. Where did you get this from, ya Shaykh? What is this, man? Nobody's ever done this in the whole world. Until you were, this is extreme. Yani, some people may squeeze it, you know, from the sleeve. No, he wants to unbutton his old shirt. Kullu hada. But this one is extreme. complete blowing. He blows left and right under the armpit. I don't know what the objective is. The bottom line is this one, you say, you have the right to say, brother, time out, ma'alish. Please tell me what the dalil for this. I need to know the dalil so I can, you know, if it's good, I'm going to do it. And usually they have no dalil.
But at night it's allowed. So I tried reciting.
Ibrahim, ballasna Ibrahim.
Before sleep.
This is different, Ibrahim. It's allowed. It's allowed that you recite قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. But it's not the same. Then you go like this, and then you wipe your face, your head, and whatever you can of your body.
Night only.
Hey, but you're not blowing on your body, brother.
Yes.
So you said you're allowed. No, you're not allowed. That's two different things. Yes, it's allowed to do this and wipe your body. Alhamdulillah.
Not after Salah.
Aywa. Not after Salah. But blowing on your body, that doesn't, not at night, not in the day. Huh? No time, this is okay. So how did I get here? نعم فإن إنها لأن أصل في العبادات المنع. The fourth condition, it's important. الشرط الرابع أن يكون قادرا. You have to have the ability. على القيام بالأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر بلا ضرر يلحقه. You must have the means to enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil without fearing يعني harm. A harm which may afflict you. فإن لحقه ضرر لم يجب عليه. If you fear that they may be harmed because of that, it's no longer obligatory upon you. لكن إن صبر وقام به فهو أفضل. But if he does do it out of patience and seeking the أجر, it is better for him. He's not saying it's haram, but now you're allowed not to do it. يعني you wanna forbid some evil. طيب. And you know that by forbidding the evil, some harm is going to afflict you. You're no longer obliged, as in the beginning, you're obliged to forbid the evil. Now you don't, but if you do it, jazakallah khair. It doesn't mean you say, oh, no, not anymore. Now you can go ahead, and even if some harm afflicts you, may Allah reward you for it, but it's no longer wajib on you, like it was initially. Clear? طيب. لأن جميع الواجبات مشروطة بالقدرة والاستطاعة. All obligations are conditional to ability and the means to do it. لقول الله لقول تعالى فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم. Allah says, so fear Allah as much as you can. وقول لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسع. Allah does not burden the soul beyond its scope. فإذا خاف إذا أمر شخصا بمعروف أن يقتله. If you fear that by enjoining a good upon someone, he may kill you. He's a criminal. فإنه لا يلزمه أن يأمره. You're not obliged now to command him with that good. لأنه لا يستطيع ذلك. Because you're not unable to do so. بل قد يحرم عليه حينئذ. In that condition it becomes haram. Because now death, we're dealing with death. Not just merely harm. Death, life and death, then you don't even, خلاص, let the guy go. Huh. وقال بعض العلماء, that's the opinion of one. Some of the ulama, what they say, بل يجب عليه الأمر والصبر. He is commanded to command, huh, and to be patient. وإن تضرر بذلك ما لم يصل إلى حد القتل. Even if he's harmful, except if he reaches death. يعني no matter what the consequence, you still have to forbid the evil as long as life and death is out of the picture. Yeah. Now of course we have from Ammar ibn Yasir, we have both examples. Some who died في سبيل الله, and Ammar who رضي الله عنه actually was allowed to say the statement of disbelief in order to save his neck. And the Prophet ﷺ endorsed what he had done. لكن القول الأول أولى. The Sheikh said, however, the first opinion is more, is better. نعم. لأن هذا الآمر إذا لحقه الضرر بحبس ونحوه فإن غيره قد يترك الأمر بالمعروف ونهى عن المنكر خوفا مما حصل. Look at the Sheikh's fiqh of the matter now. Excuse me. He said, if the person who enjoined what is good or forbade what is evil, he was harmed, such as him being imprisoned, because of that, let's say he said something, he was in prison, then this will lead others to stop enjoining the good, forbidden evil. Because say fulan was in prison, خلاص يا جماعة الخير, be quiet, no one says anything, huh? So if this is the case, it's better to leave it alone in order not to create this harm, wherein other people will become scared of enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil. حتى نعم حتى في حال لا يخشى منها ذلك الضرر. People will start leaving it alone even if there's no longer such fear. يعني the shaitan will take advantage. They will completely abandon enjoining the good, forbidding the evil out of fear that maybe something will happen. لا. There's moderation. وهذا ما لم يصل الأمر إلى حد يكون الأمر بالمعروف من جنس الجهاد. All this is as long as the matter does not reach a point wherein enjoining what is good becomes a type of jihad, a form of jihad. كما لو أمر بسنة ونهى عن بدعة ولو سكت, such as enjoining a sunnah upon the people or forbidding a bid'ah, even if he remained quiet, لاستطال أهل البدعة على أهل السنة, because that will give some leverage of the people of bid'ah over the people of sunnah. ففي هذه الحال يجب إظهار السنة وبيان البدعة. In that condition, you must declare the sunnah, proclaim the sunnah, and you must explain to the people that this is a bid'ah. Like these days, you can't leave them alone. You can't say, yeah, but everybody does mawlid, so if we speak about it, it's going to cause division among the ummah, blah. Because if everybody did this, khalas, the mawlid will become part of the deen.
It is becoming more popular.
Well, yeah, and but no, but still, how many people speak against it?
Yes.
If everybody of the dua said, let me just be quiet about it, we're done. It will reach a point where if one came to speak, said, now you, against the whole ummah, ya sheikh, everybody didn't say anything. Fulan, 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 and alim, fulan. And only you have a problem. This man is not going to be able to get anything, even if he's upon the truth. So that's why it has to be يعني, many people doing this. لأنه من الجهاد في سبيله, because this falls under struggling in Allah's way. Proclaiming the sunnah, demolishing bid'ah. ولا يعذر من تعين عليه بالخوف على نفسه. And he's not excused, even the one who fears for himself. Like Imam Ahmad رحمه الله, who when the fitna of the creation of the Quran came, he said the truth and his life was threatened. Bismillah. الشرط الخامس, the fifth condition, أن لا يترتب على الأمر بالمعروف ونهى المنكر مفسدة أعظم من السكوت. Very important condition, guys. فإن ترتب عليه ذلك فإنه لا يلزمه بل يجوز له أن يأمر بالمعروف وأن ينهى عن المنكر. أو it should be بل لا يجوز له. Again, another typo, a word missing. If enjoining what is good, the fifth condition is that because of enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil, there isn't a greater evil which comes out. Which is if you were to remain silent. Huh. Otherwise, you're not obliged. In fact, it could become haram. According to Ibn Qayyim, it's haram. Yani, if you get a forbidden evil, and because of forbidding the evil, you're going to create a bigger evil, then it is haram for you to forbid the evil. Because what is the objective? Forbid the evil. If you created more evil, what benefit did you do? So like you cleaned, it's like someone, you know, he found some dirt on the floor, okay, some dust. So he goes and he gets the sewage water, and the sewage water, and he throws it to clean the dirt. But now we have stink and we have, the people's feces and urine and everything. Before we had some dust. So now you cleaning this with this is a greater calamity. We were better off before you brought anything. We could have gotten some broom and easily broomed them on the side. Is that clear? I don't know where I got that example from. But I hope it's suitable. It's a little funky one, huh? Sorry about that. But that's the only thing that came to mind. Sometimes, what comes to mind is not what you want. على كل حال, so this is one of the principles. You don't do it, then you take it easy. ولهذا قال العلماء إن إنكار المنكر ينتج منه إحدى أحوال أربعة. The ulama say forbidding the evil will bring about four kinds of results, four possible results. إما أن يزول المنكر, منكر is gone, successful, mission accomplished. أو يتحول إلى أخف منه. It's decreased to a level beneath the one before. Yani it's not as big of a munkar, it's a lesser munkar now. Not big munkar, smaller munkar. أو إلى مثله, or munkar with munkar. The equal amount. Yani you got rid of that munkar, but you brought in another munkar equivalent to it. أو إلى أعظم منه, or you bring about a greater munkar. أما الحالة الأولى والثانية فالإنكار واجب. In the first and the second situations, forbidding the evil is obligatory, which is when you remove it completely or you lessen it. وَأَمَّا فِي الثَّالِثَ فَيَا مَحَلْ نَظَرْ. The third one, where you bring something equal, it requires observation. You contemplate which one is going to be, it needs a alim to really figure it out. وَأَمَّا الرَّابِعَ فَلَا يَجُزُ الْإِنْكَرْ. The fourth one, if you bring in a greater munkar, it's not permissible to forbid the evil. لِأَنَّ الْمَقْصُودِ بِإِنْكَارِ الْمُنْكَرِ إِزَالَتِهِ أَوْ تَخْفِيفِهِ. What is intended by removing a harm is removing it or decreasing it. So someone goes to Jama'at Tabligh and he says in your face, oh, you're misguided. All of you are misguided. You go to Jahannam. I'm telling you, I heard it from Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab. Did he do anything now? Is anyone going to listen to him? Khalas, Yabu, they will never invite you again. They will never speak to you again, and they will become even more firm upon their bid'ah. So you say, my brother, Jazakum Allah khair for what you're doing. However, A, B, C, D. These are the mistakes which we have to work out so we can refer matters back to Allah and His Messenger and so forth. If now they say, I'm forbidding evil, these are people of bid'ah. Tayyib, your brother, but now you push them away. Now you push them away. Now anyone who they're going to declare as Wahhabi Salafi, huh? Khalas, they're never going to listen to him. So you didn't really fulfill the objective. Yes, you want to forbid the evil, but be careful of bringing about a greater evil. So this is, of course, if you're addressing them directly. Sometimes if you're giving a lecture, all that is irrelevant. But if you're in front of the people, then you have to have a whole other approach. Otherwise, if it's going to bring a greater evil, then you have to leave it alone. مثال ذلك. Ouch. Only that we'll just deal with this example. إذا أراد أن يأمر شخصا بفعل إحسان لكن يستلزم فعل هذا الإحسان ألا يصلي مع الجماعة فلا يجوز الأمر بهذا المعروف. If you're going to command a person to do an act of goodness, however, because of this act of goodness, he will not be able to pray in jama'ah, it becomes prohibited for you to enjoin the good. Huh? You're going to tell him, look, there's right now they're giving sadaqah to people in Syria. Okay? And the place is going to close in 5 minutes and the iqamah is in 5 minutes. It's haram for you to tell him, go donate money now. Isn't it good to donate money? But if it's going to conflict with the missing the jama'ah, not anymore. Not anymore. Either do it before or do it after. If it's going to conflict, you can't do it anymore. لأنه يؤدي إلى ترك واجب من أجل فعل مستحب. Because donation is recommended. Salah in jama'ah is wajib. It's going to lead him to leave alone the obligation because of a voluntary act. It is not permissible. And the last example before we go, actually let's wait till the next time inshallah, where we will deal with the continuation example. Now this is an example of enjoining the good. He will give us an example of forbidding the evil. Then he will give us the evidence from the Quran. Why is it the case that you're not allowed to do this? And then we will deal with the sixth condition, inshallah ta'ala, of enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil. Then we will deal with more of the characteristics of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.